Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. I am your PGN host for today, Dr. Nicole, the Book of Revelation Research Scientist. I want to share with you some about our PGN schedule. On Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, we have Rand Chandler every night, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. We have Angela Joy and sometimes Felicia on, and sometimes Terrence and Tanisha on Sundays. We have Deborah and Jeannie on Tuesdays. We have Carmen on Saturdays. And if you haven't had a chance to, if I'm leaving anyone out, please forgive me. We have Lashun also, I believe, sometimes on Fridays. Sometimes Felicia is on Fridays. If you haven't had a chance to listen to different PGN hosts, I really encourage you to do that. It is such a blessing to tap into both live online church, and that's what PGN is. PGN stands for Prophetic Grace Network. This is live online church, one-on-one ministry for you via internet radio. If you haven't had a chance to listen to some of our different hosts, I encourage you to do that. It is such a blessing to me. It has been, and I believe it will be a blessing to you. Today and every show in the month of July 2022, we are talking about the marriage supper prophecy. It is an extremely interesting prophecy in the book of Revelation. There are many statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. They begin with the seven seals prophecy, which starts with verse 1 of chapter 5, and end with the new earth prophecy, which is in chapters 21 and 22. I've really been praying about our program today and asking the Lord how he would like me to share with you about this marriage supper prophecy. And what I feel led to do is to work from the end to the beginning. So what do I mean by that? In the end, when we're talking about the statements of prophecy, the very last statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation, as I mentioned earlier, is the new earth prophecy. And by the way, about these statements of prophecy, in the formal conclusion to the book of Revelation, John identifies the statements of prophecy and says in verse 18 of chapter 22, I personally solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions and consolations and admonitions pertaining to them. In this book, if anyone shall add anything to them, God will add and lay upon him the plagues, the afflictions, and the calamities that are recorded and described in this book. And if anyone cancels or takes away from the statements of the book of this prophecy, these predictions relating to Christ's kingdom and its speedy triumph, together with the consolations and admonitions or warnings pertaining to them, God will cancel and take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the city of holiness, purity, and hallowedness, which are described and promised in this book. What are some take-home points from verses 18 and 19 in the conclusion of the book of Revelation? Number one, these statements of prophecy are all related to Christ's kingdom and its speedy triumph. So every statement of prophecy, whether we're talking about the seven seals prophecy, the seven trumpets prophecy, the millennial reign prophecy, the marriage supper prophecy, the focus of our discussion today, they are all focused on sharing reports of future events relating to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of Christ's kingdom on this earth and its speedy triumph. In other words, that it is coming to pass and soon it will triumph over all of the governments that exist today. And in the book of Revelation and in the book of Daniel, those governments which play key roles in the hour of his return, they are identified with symbols. In Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapters 12 and 13, those governments are noted with symbols. Okay, more about that when we talk about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. That's chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, which will be the focus of this program for the month of August 2022. But for now, we are focused on these statements of prophecy and what do they mean, and then getting to the marriage supper prophecy. At the very end of all of the statements of prophecy which appear in order, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 5 and ending right before the formal conclusion in chapter 22, this is what John says about these statements of prophecy. And the marriage supper prophecy is one of many statements of prophecy. John says, "And he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements," talking about the statements of prophecy. Remember, this is the very first sentence immediately following the end of the last verse of the last statement of prophecy. John says in verse 6 of chapter 22, "And he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine, true." So every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is reliable. Every statement of prophecy is worthy of confidence. Every statement of prophecy is genuine. Every statement of prophecy is true. That means the marriage supper prophecy, the focus of our discussion today, is reliable, worthy of confidence, genuine, and true. In addition, it is a statement of prophecy related to Christ's kingdom and its speedy triumph. So it's related to the second coming. Now, let's work backwards. In the last statement of prophecy, the New Earth prophecy, which begins with verse 1 of chapter 21 and ends with verse 5 of chapter 22, there are statements of prophecy which report on the new earth. The final statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation reveals to us, the readers, that in the end, there will be a new perfected earth, an earth that is no longer under the curse, an earth that is populated by members of the royal race. And other inhabitants on the new earth include Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, and God the Father, both dwelling in the city called the New Jerusalem, which will descend from present heaven onto the new earth. So who didn't make it? Who didn't make it? I said only members of the royal race. So members of the royal race are those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, those whose names were not blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. So that's the final statement of prophecy, the New Earth prophecy. Just before that statement of prophecy, we have the dead judged prophecy. And so we're working our way backwards to the marriage supper prophecy, because that's the prophecy where we see the first of the five enemies of God destroyed. And so in one of my favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, it says, reading from the Contemporary English Version of the Bible, "And the last enemy he destroys will be death." And the last enemy he destroys will be death. Okay, and so we're working backwards. Well, where do we see the destruction of death by he who is Jesus Christ? Go to the dead judged prophecy. That's in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. And in verse 14, it says, "Then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire." And so one of the things that doesn't make it to the new earth, the perfected earth, is death. And how do we know that? We know it from the dead judged prophecy, verse 14, where it says, "Then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire." And we also know it from the new earth prophecy. In the end, in the pinnacle statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation, John reveals to us six tragedies that will no longer exist. We are in the old order of things, but there is coming a time, a day, at an appointed hour when we will transition from the old order of things, which will pass away, to God's new order. So what we are waiting for, what we are looking forward to in expectation and excitement, should be God's new order. Not the new world order, that's Satan's counterfeit, but God's new order. You say, well, research scientists, where do you get that from? Let's take a look at the New Earth prophecy in verse 4 of chapter 21. Here are the six things, the six tragedies that will no longer exist. It says in verse 4 of chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, "God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And here it comes. "And death shall be no more, neither shall there be anguish, sorrow and mourning, nor grief nor pain any more." So those six things will not exist on the new earth. No death, no anguish, no sorrow, no mourning, no grief, no pain, no tragedy. There's no tragedy on the new earth. And why not? We get the explanation in the same verse, verse 4 of chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. "For the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away." So we are looking forward to the former order of things. That's this current order, an order where death exists and a person can, and every person except for those of us who are here at the time of his second coming and who are in Christ, with the exception of that group, every person will experience the first death. But on the new earth, there will be no more death. And now let's go back to the dead judged prophecy. How does God accomplish no more death. God's solution, God's strategy, God's master plan for taking out his enemies is to destroy them by placing them in the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. In the Holy Bible, it is referred to as the second death. In contrast to the death that occurs today, which is referred to as falling asleep in the Bible more than a dozen times, the second death is a real death. It is a permanent death. You say, well, how do we know it's permanent? So we just saw where death, the last enemy, according to First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, that's the last enemy to be abolished, subdued and abolished, if we're using language from the Amplified Classic translation. But I love this contemporary English version translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. Okay, so about God's solution, strategy, master plan for taking care of his enemies, it is the fiery lake. So how do we know this? Let's go back a little bit further. So we started off looking at the New Earth prophecy, where every member of the royal race lives on a perfected earth where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more death, no more mourning, no more anguish. And then we said, well, how did we get there? Well, when we looked in the Dead Judge prophecy, we saw that death was annihilated. Death was destroyed. Well, what else was destroyed? Every person who's allowed to live during the millennial reign as a mortal person. So during the millennial reign, there will be members of the royal race as well as those who survived the wine press. Now, maybe they survived because they did not take the mark of the beast, or maybe they survived because they weren't of age where they could be held accountable. So in other words, when we look in the Old Testament, they had an age of accountability. And those who were in Israel who were not at the age of accountability were not subject to the same judgment as the adults. I believe that age of accountability was 20. In any case, during the millennial reign, there will be those who are allowed to live as mortals at the end of the millennial reign, which is the first 1,000 years of Christ's kingdom on this present earth. So this is before the new earth, before we transition to new earth, before God recreates this earth, perfects it in the same way that each member of the royal race, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will transition to a perfected, glorified body with the rapture. So before we transition to the new earth, the perfected earth, during this millennial reign, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. It says that in verse 2 of chapter 20. So talking about an angel, it says, and he gripped and overpowered the dragon, which is Satan, that old serpent of primeval times, who is the devil and Satan, and securely bound him for 1,000 years. And then if we keep reading in chapter 20, so Satan is bound. Now, where was he bound? He's bound in the bottomless pit called the abyss. And then if we keep reading in chapter 20, well, what happens? In verse 7, so we just heard verse 2. In verse 7 it says, and when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his place of confinement, and he will go forth to deceive and seduce and lead astray the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to muster them for war. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they swarmed up over the broad plain of the earth and encircled the fortress camp of God's people, the saints, and the beloved city, but fire descended from heaven and consumed them. Then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. And so before the new earth, death, an enemy of God, is destroyed by it being thrown into the fiery lake. It is put to death. Death is put to a second death, which is a permanent death. And then before this great white throne judgment, where that happens, Satan himself is put to death. What kind of death? A permanent death, the second death. He's hurled into the fiery lake. Okay, and now let's back up. Now we're going to get to the marriage supper prophecy, but I want to share one other thing before we go there. At that great white throne judgment, before death is thrown into the fiery lake, also put to death, the second death, is all of the individuals, all of the individuals who are under the inspiration, under the leading, every person who has pledged allegiance to Satan. And so who all are they? For every stage of life, God has had a plan of salvation. In our age, the plan of salvation is noted for us in Acts 2:38. Repent of our sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the plan of salvation for us, every person who is hearing my voice. And then before us, there was a different plan of salvation. In Noah's day, there was a plan of salvation. Notice in his day, the rest didn't make it, but he did. Okay, let's keep going. The point for us is this. Every person who rejected God's plan for his or her salvation will be restored to life again during the timing of the dead judged prophecy, the great white throne judgment. So you say, research scientist, can you be sure? How do you know that? How we know that is in Revelation chapter 20. It says this. In verse 5, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. In other words, with the first resurrection, every person in Christ, every person who accepted and followed God's plan for salvation, whatever the plan was during his or her time on the earth. So for us, our plan of salvation is outlined in Acts 2:38. Every person who follows God's plan for salvation that existed during his or her time on the earth will be restored to life again during the first resurrection. And those who are here at the time of the second coming will never experience the first death, but will transition to a perfected, glorified body. But, we started off talking about the new earth and how the new earth is populated by members of the royal race, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When did we lose everyone else? Well, if we're talking about people, we lost the vast majority of human beings that ever existed in our time and before our time. We lost them at the great white throne judgment, which is described in the dead judged prophecy. You might say, no, we lost them when they died. No. That's not right. In verse 5 of chapter 20, it says the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until. So it's not that they were not restored to life again. It says until the 1,000 years were completed. So what does that mean? When the first 1,000 years of the kingdom, I'm not talking about that place that we call the kingdom during this age. I'm talking about the real kingdom, Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on this present earth. He will rule and reign with all who transition from mortality to immortality, who transition from either being in a corruptible body on this earth at the time of his second coming or being without a body, disembodied. Do you know that every person who followed God's plan for his or her salvation during the time at which he or she lived on the earth lives with perfect continuity of life? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who died in Christ. That means who followed God's plan for his or her salvation. Now, for us, it's been over 2,000 years. Acts 2:38 is God's plan for our salvation, so that's what we tend to think of. But there are other plans of salvation that existed before the current plan. But let us be most familiar with, because we are going to be held accountable for following the plan of salvation for us. It's like this. If a rule existed for how to withdraw money from a bank in 2022, and we needed to withdraw money from a bank, we'd have to follow that rule. That rule could be different from the rule that existed in 1922, right? Okay. And so where do we lose people? Every person is either a wheat or a tare. Every person is either in Christ or in Satan. And so every person who rejects God, in other words, every person who refuses to accept God's plan for salvation has his or her name not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name must be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life in order to be allowed to live on the new earth. You say, well, why is this new earth so important? You need to know how to get to the new earth. You need to know how to get to the new earth because it is God's plan for your life. It's God's will for your life. It's the the only way to have eternal life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, except through me. I shared at the beginning of this hour, on the new earth, there is eternal life because every person who lives on the new earth is a member of the royal race, which means that he or she is three in one. Full life in the same way that Adam and Eve had full life in Genesis before the fall. They had a perfect body that was immortal. That was before sin entered the world, before they sinned. In the end, as we begin the eternities of the eternities on the perfected earth, we will dwell as members of the royal race. We will dwell in perfected bodies with a soul, our same mind, will, and emotions, and with a spirit. We'll be three in one. That's God's perfect plan. You need to know how to get to the new earth, and it is a decision. The decision is, do I follow God's plan for salvation, or do I reject it? So this is why the gate is narrow and why Jesus says so few find it, because we lose so many at this great white throne judgment. At the end of the millennial reign, they are restored to life again, but only for the purposes of being judged. And what does it mean to be judged? It means, according to the dead judge prophecy, it means to be sentenced by what one has done, one's whole way of feeling and acting, one's aims and endeavors in accordance with what is recorded in one's books. So every person has a book of life, according to the dead judge prophecy in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. And then here's what happens. Each person is tried, and each person's case is determined by what he or she has done according to his or her motives, aims, and works. And this is the last verse of the dead judge prophecy. And if anyone's name is not found recorded in the book of life, he is hurled into the lake of fire. Listen, friend. If you are not restored to life again until after the 1,000 years have passed of the millennial reign, we already know your sentence. That means that you're in line two. Line one is restored to life again at the time of the second coming. Line two is restored to life again at the time of the great white throne judgment, noted in the dead judge prophecy. Okay. So we lost a lot of people. I don't know if it's hundreds of millions or billions or maybe even trillions, but the vast majority of those purposed and destined to have eternal life as members of the royal race on the new earth decided to follow the broad way, and they fail to have their names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their names are blotted out, and they don't make it. Okay, so we've talked about the new earth, and then before that, we talked about the dead judged and how they don't make it to the new earth. And then we talked about the 1,000 years and how Satan doesn't make it to the new earth. So death didn't make it to the new earth. The people who rejected God's plan for salvation didn't make it to the new earth. Satan didn't make it to the new earth. And now we're going finally to the marriage supper prophecy. This prophecy is one of my favorite statements of prophecy because it's the beginning of God destroying his enemies. And the reason that that is important from my perspective is I'm anxious to get to the new earth. And I hope that you are too. I hope that you are too. I'm anxious to get to the point that appointed day, that appointed hour, where we transition from the old order of things to God's new order. Now, before that, we're going to transition to the new world order, right? And we'll have the great tribulation. But after that, with his second coming, we will begin the first 1,000 years of the kingdom called the millennial reign. And after the millennial reign and the great white throne judgment, we transition to God's new order, and the former order of things will have passed away, and the six tragedies of life will exist no more. What are those tragedies? They're listed in Revelation 21:4. No more death. Death is a tragedy, and God has counted death as an enemy. Thank you, God, for that. There'll be no more anguish, no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more grief, no more pain. I am anxious. I am excited. I am looking forward to the day where we are in God's new order. And so, with God destroying his enemies, we are on our way to God's new order, the new earth, free of the curse, free of sin, free of war, free of every manner of tragedy. So now we've been backing up. We were in chapter 22 and then chapter 21 and then chapter 20. Now we're in chapter 19. Because we want to know, how do we get to this new earth? Every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation, as noted in verse 19 of 22, as part of the conclusion, every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation relates to Christ's kingdom and its speedy triumph. So what specifically in the marriage supper prophecy is related to the kingdom and its speedy triumph? In other words, it coming to pass, it being brought into fruition. I want to go to verses 17 and 18 of the marriage supper prophecy. And by the way, my perception is that it begins with verse 6 of chapter 19 and it ends with verse 21. I want to go to verse 17 of this marriage supper prophecy. Remember that John warned us, don't take anything away from these statements of prophecy and don't add anything. I've heard several reports on the marriage supper prophecy where people added things that sounded good, things that I'd like, to be honest with you. I liked what I was hearing. But as I got into the Word of God to study it for myself, I found out that they weren't true, that people had added things. Perhaps they had heard it from someone else and didn't check the source, which is the Bible. Or maybe they had other reasons. I don't know. But I will not add nor take away from the statements of prophecy in this book. Let's start with verse 17 and verse 18. This is where the angel is preparing the earth for the marriage supper. So the marriage of the Lamb is the first resurrection. It is when we join Jesus Christ forever and ever as his bride, the church, every person who has accepted God's plan of salvation that existed at the time at which he or she dwelled on the earth, we are all given an incorruptible body, this corruptible must put on the incorruptible. First, the dead in Christ rise to meet him in the sky. And then those who are alive at that time, in the twinkling of an eye, we don't fall asleep, but we transition, rising up second in our perfected, glorified, incorruptible bodies. That's the marriage of the Lamb, because we are with him forever and ever, for the eternities of eternities. We are with him from the moment the kingdom begins. So you say, well, what do you mean we're with him? Aren't those in heaven with him now? Yes, but we will be with him, God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, and every person in Christ manifest in the flesh, not disembodied in heaven, but on this earth in a perfected, glorified body that will never, ever, ever die. And so there's the marriage of the Lamb. That's the first resurrection. And then there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. So first there's a marriage, and then there's the marriage supper. For example, at the beginning of the marriage supper prophecy, it says, after that I heard what sounded like the shout of a vast throng, like the boom of many pounding waves, and like the roar of terrific and mighty peals of thunder, exclaiming, hallelujah, praise the Lord, for now the Lord our God, the omnipotent, the all-ruler, reigns. So it's the beginning of the kingdom, the beginning of Jesus Christ establishing his government on this present earth. And then what happens, says in verse 7, let us rejoice and shout for joy, exulting and triumphant. Let us celebrate and ascribe to him glory and honor, for the marriage of the Lamb at last has come. Finally, we are all. So who's all? That's Abraham, that's Isaac, that's Jacob, that's Ruth. That's David, that's your grandmother who died in Christ, your grandfather who died in Christ, your uncle who died in Christ. Maybe it's your husband or wife or sister or brother or son or daughter who died in Christ. And it's all of us on this earth at the time of the second coming. We are all together at last in a marriage, a permanent union with our God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. That's the marriage of the Lamb. And it says, talking about the bride, that's you and that's me. And his bride has prepared herself. She has been permitted to dress in fine, radiant linen, dazzling and white. So you wonder, well, what am I going to be wearing? What's my outfit when I get to my perfected, glorified body? You will be wearing white, and it will be fine linen. Okay, now, that's the first resurrection. It is wonderful and amazing, but what's this marriage supper? So that's the marriage of the Lamb. Recall and remember, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's both. So that's the marriage. At his first coming, he came as a lamb, sacrificed for our sins. But when he comes the second time, for his second coming, he is coming to wage a war in righteousness and to establish his kingdom, his government on this present earth for 1,000 years. And after every one of his enemies is destroyed, with the last and final enemy being death itself, we transition to a new earth. I want to make sure that you know how to get to the new earth. Every person will be allowed to dwell on the new earth. Not every spirit will be allowed to dwell on the new earth. We heard Satan is disallowed to dwell on the new earth. He is destroyed and experiences the second death. He's hurled into the fiery lake. Now, talking about this marriage supper, in verse 9 it says, "Then the angel said to me," the angel was talking to John, "write this down. Blessed, happy to be envied are those who are summoned, invited, called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words, the genuine and exact declarations of God." And then going down to verse 11, it says, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse appeared. The one who was riding it is called faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true, and he passes judgment and wages war in righteousness." Okay, that's our first clue that we're about to talk about something really serious. So a marriage is serious but fun. Fun, exciting, joyful, celebratory, right? And it says that. But this prophecy notes the marriage to give us the place marker in time at which the marriage supper will occur. So the first resurrection is described a couple of times in the book of Revelation, in different statements of prophecy. It is noted here in the marriage supper prophecy as a place marker so we know where we are in time. So there's the marriage of the Lamb, and then next there's the marriage supper. Okay, so what's this marriage supper? In verse 11, we're told Jesus Christ is on a white horse, and he passes judgment and wages war in righteousness. This marriage supper is a war. It's not a steak dinner. We're not all going to Outback. We aren't having a catered dinner at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, are we going to eat with Jesus Christ? I believe we will, because when he transition, when he rose from the dead and transitioned to his perfected, glorified body, he told them to give him some fish and he ate. But specifically right now, this marriage supper, it's not dinner time. It's war time. Now, why do we need a war? Because God has a plan, a strategy, a solution to take out his enemies. So we have the marriage supper for the purpose of God beginning to take out his enemies. So the marriage supper prophecy is particularly noteworthy because it's the first statement prophecy where we get a very forthright description of God taking out the first of five enemies that God destroys in preparation for the new earth. Remember, that's the point of it all, having eternal life with our Creator on a perfected earth forever and ever, for the eternities of eternities. It says in the New Earth prophecy, they shall reign as kings forever and ever through the eternities of the eternities. Who's they? They is every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it says at the beginning of the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. So how are we being formed into this kingdom? The kingdom begins with the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of the millennial reign, the 1,000 years after which time there's the Satan being destroyed, and then there's the great white throne judgment and the dead being destroyed. Every person who failed to accept God's plan of salvation that existed at the time he or she dwelled on the earth. And now in this marriage supper prophecy, the first resurrection has happened. Now what happens? All right, we are in verses 17 and 18. John says, "Then I saw a single angel stationed in the sun's light, and with a mighty voice he shouted to all the birds that fly across the sky, 'Come, gather yourselves together for the great supper of God.'" Okay, so an angel says to all the birds that fly across the sky, not one bird, but an angel shouts loudly to all the birds, "Come gather yourself for the great supper of God." So the angel didn't say, saints or bride or the elect. No, the angel says, come, and says that to all the birds, not all the members of the royal race, not all of the bride, not all the church, not all the lampstands. The angel shouts to all of the birds, come, gather yourselves. So who's gathering? The birds of the sky are gathering. Why are they gathering? They're gathering for the marriage supper. They're told to come, gather yourselves together for the great supper of God. So it's not referred to as just a supper of God, but a great supper of God. So let's continue in verse 18. Now, why are they gathering? The angel further says, that you may feast, talking to the birds, that you may feast. What are the birds going to feast on? The flesh of rulers, the flesh of generals and captains, the flesh of powerful and mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all humanity, both free and slave, both small and great. Remember, we were told in verse 11 that the marriage supper is a war waged in righteousness, holiness, justice, and uprightness. So at the end of this war, at the end of this war, those who are destroyed, those who have died, their corpses will be there. Their flesh will be there. Their spirits will have departed. So when a person experiences the first death, the person, if he or she is in Christ, the person departs and goes to heaven. If he or she is not in Christ, in other words, the person's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the person departs to Hades. So we already know what happens to those who depart to Hades. They're restored to life again for the great white throne judgment. But staying here right now, the birds are all gathered. They're told that they're going to have a feast and that there's going to be a lot of flesh. This is a war. The marriage supper is a war. Now, this is important because we are not excited about war. We don't look forward to war, but we look forward to God destroying his enemies, which are our enemies, those who are yielded to sin, those who are perpetrators of sin and all manner of evil and abominations. Let's get to it and see what happens. And in verse 19 and 20 and 21, we get a report of the actual warfare events. So verse 19 says, "Then I saw the beast," talking about the Antichrist, "and the rulers and leaders of the earth with their troops mustered to go into battle and make war against him who was mounted on the horse and against his troops." This is the Battle of Armageddon. It is described in multiple statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. In this specific statement of prophecy, the focus is on how God will destroy his enemies. So Jesus Christ has come with his troops. In verse 14, it says, and the troops of heaven, clothed in fine linen, dazzling and clean, followed him, talking about Jesus Christ, on white horses. And then now in verse 19, we see where the Antichrist and the rulers of the earth with their troops, they're mustered to go into battle against Jesus and his troops. Okay, so now we have a war. Opponents, Team Jesus versus Team Antichrist. What is the outcome? What is the outcome? Verse 20 gives us the outcome. And the beast, talking about the Antichrist, was seized and overpowered. And with him the false prophet, who in his presence had worked wonders and performed miracles, by which he led astray those who had accepted or permitted to be placed upon them the stamp mark of the beast, and those who paid homage and gave divine honors to his statue. Now, they were seized and overpowered, two enemies of God, the Antichrist, enemy number one, the false prophet, enemy number two. Now, not saying one's more of an enemy than the other, just in the order that they appear in the marriage supper prophecy. The Antichrist and the false prophet, they're seized and overpowered. Then what happens? Remember, God's strategy, solution, and master plan for destroying his enemies is to put them to a permanent death, which is called the second death. Here it is, the end of verse 20. Both of them, talking about the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet, both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. Note, in the very next chapter, when we hear about the thousand-year millennial reign, in verse 10 of chapter 20, it says, then the devil who had led them astray was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone where the beast and false prophet were. And they, talking about all three, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil, will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the marriage supper prophecy tells us how God will destroy his enemies, how he will prepare for the transition from the old order of things. What's the old order of things? The old order of things is death, anguish, sorrow, mourning, grief, pain. God has a plan, a solution, a strategy to transition from the old order of things to God's new order. And in this marriage supper prophecy, we see the beginning of God taking out his five enemies so that at the end of the millennial reign, upon the conclusion of the great white throne judgment, he transitions this earth, which is cursed, where waters can kill you if they are polluted, where trees can die, where animals eat each other just to live. God transitions us to our glorified bodies at the first resurrection, and then at the conclusion of the millennial reign, he transitions this earth to a new earth, a perfected earth. And in order to do that, he takes a series of actions that begin with the marriage supper and taking out the first two of five enemies of God. which are the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now, verse 21, what does it say? And the rest were killed with the sword that issues from the mouth of him who is mounted on the horse, and all the birds fed ravenously and glutted themselves with their flesh. What does that mean? All those troops that were waging war against Jesus Christ and his troops, they are annihilated. They have taken the mark of the beast. They are waging war against God manifest in the flesh, totally surrendered and submitted to the evil one, to Satan himself, under his inspiration, power, and dominion, and God. Having come to wage a war in righteousness, in other words, a war to bring justice and uprightness and holiness, it is not just for sin to rule and reign on this earth. It's not just for wars to be fought and innocent men, women, and children being slaughtered. It is not just. It's not good. It's all manner of evil and sin, and God has a plan for eternal life, for a new earth where there's no more sin. And so I'm very excited by this marriage supper prophecy. I hope that discussion today has allowed a thorough understanding of the timing of the marriage supper and the reality of it being specifically a war waged in righteousness. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to watch YouTube. I love when people bring their own content to share with me and others. And I've seen some videos where people shared that they had a dream about the marriage supper and this or that happened. One person I saw said, and there were all these tables and there was a white tablecloth and there was this and there was that. And I can't say that what the person reported isn't a future event, but I can say for a fact that the marriage supper itself is not a dinner for our consumption. It is a war waged in righteousness. It's a war waged for the purposes of bringing justice and uprightness to this earth. There is coming a time, an appointed time, a known time, a time known by God, when there will never, ever be another war. The Battle of Armageddon is the war to end all wars. There will never, ever be another war after the Battle of Armageddon. And even at the end of the 1,000 years, the end of the first 1,000 years of the kingdom, which is God's government on this present earth, the devil is loosed. And for those mortals, not us, those mortals who exist, and some of them fall by the wayside, and they're led astray. Satan fools them. He deceives them like he has deceived so many. And what happens? God doesn't even, he doesn't have a war. He calls forth fire from heaven, and boom, Satan's out. Let me read that to you. In verse 9 of chapter 20, it says, and they swarmed up. These are all the people that Satan persuaded to follow him in rebellion against God. So Satan's determined. He's been bound for 1,000 years. He's frustrated. He's mad. He knows his time is so short. And so he can't touch the members of the royal race. But But there are some mortals that have been living during the millennial reign. And so he gets in their ear and in their hearts and minds, and he persuades some of them. And so that's the they, and they swarmed up over the plain of the earth and encircled the fortress of God's people, the saints, and the beloved city. So this is, they're at Jerusalem. So this is not the new Jerusalem yet. This is our current present earth. Jesus Christ is returning to this present earth. It's not until the five enemies of God are destroyed that we transition to the new earth. And so after the Battle of Armageddon, the marriage supper of the Lamb, there's no more war. So Satan has these people thinking they're about to fight a war and that they're going to somehow take Jerusalem again. That's what all these wars are about. They're inspired by Satan. He's angry. He's angry that God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, has the keys to death and Hades. And now, instead of the soul that sinneth shall die, every person has the opportunity to follow God's plan of salvation and to have eternal life. Satan doesn't have that chance. He's going to the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever, and he knows it. So what happens? He persuades these people, the mortals during the millennial reign, that they're going to take Jerusalem and they're going to this or that. And what happens? In verse 9 of chapter 20, it says, and they swarmed up over the broad plain of the earth and encircled the fortress, camp of God's people, the saints, and the beloved city. But fire descended from heaven and consumed them. Friend, the marriage supper of the Lamb is the war to end all wars. It's one account of it. It's one report of the Battle of Armageddon described in the book of Revelation. It's not the only report of the Battle of Armageddon, but it is unique, valuable, and for our own instruction, right? It's to instruct us, to help us understand from God's perspective what is happening, when it is happening, and why. So what is happening with the marriage supper of the Lamb? A war waged in righteousness. Why? To take out the first two of five enemies of God, the Antichrist and the false prophet. When is it happening? It is happening the first resurrection. After the first resurrection. I am looking forward to sharing more about the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to invite you to share your questions, to share your perspective. If this program, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, if it is useful for you, please let us know at PGN. If there are specific topics in the Book of Revelation, please let us know. You can text me at 1-214-505-8719. The PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. And so the way that you use our text phone number during the program, you can text a prayer request. You can text a question about the Book of Revelation. If you have a question about the Book of Revelation, you can text that 24/7. You don't need to wait until the program is live. You can do it at any time. You can also call. If you're a longtime listener, you know our phone number is 1-319-527-6027. Maybe you're listening from the archive on Apple Podcasts or Blog Talk Radio or one of the other ways to hear PGN. So when this show is broadcast live, which is every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, that's 12 p.m. Central, when this show, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, when it is broadcasting live, you can call this phone number, 1-319-527-6027. That's 1-319-527-6027. When you call, if you want to talk to me live, you press 1. On my end, I will see on the studio that your hand is raised, and that will let me know that you have a prayer request or you have a comment or a question, and I will unmute you so that you can be on live with me and with us, and we can communicate that way live during the show. So you always have two ways to connect during live PGN programs. You can either text us at our PGN phone number. Again, that's 1-214-505-8719. Or you can call at 1-319-527-6027. At this time, I want to talk to you about plans coming up on this particular show, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. I want you to think about and to please seriously consider putting on your schedule a time to connect with this program if you are interested in understanding the Book of Revelation from start to finish. I will be talking about each statement of prophecy in the Book of Revelation for 1 month. So, for example, this month for every program, I'm talking about the marriage supper prophecy. And then in May of 2022, for every program, we talked about the dead judged prophecy. And in June, we talked about the new earth prophecy. In August, I will be talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. I believe that that is what I have scheduled. Also coming up this year, I will be talking about the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, as well as the seven plagues prophecy and the earth reaped prophecy. So exciting stuff coming up on this program for you and for me. I don't see any hands raised in the queue. I want to just wait another minute or so in case anyone has a prayer request or a question or comment that you'd like to make before we end. And I want to thank you for being with me. I never take for granted your time. I appreciate that you have many things to do, and I value your interest in the Book of Revelation and your commitment to being a student of the Bible and your interest in learning what it is that God is communicating with us. So thank you so much for being here with me and with us today. And so, friend, if there are no questions or concerns or prayer requests, we are going to end for today. I look forward to being with you again on Sunday. So please join us live on this Sunday at 12 noon Central Time. That's 12 noon Texas time and 1 p.m. Eastern time. Until next time, friend, take care.